Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph. We are continuing the Agarata that we had started yesterday, and here we have another memra from Amar of Yirmiyah ben Elazar. The ways of Hashem are different than the ways of man or of human beings. When it comes to the ways of humans, if a person is sentenced to death by the king, and they're going to execute him, they put a hook, so there's some bit into his mouth, so that he won't curse the king. When it comes to the ways of Hashem, Adam mitchayev harigala makom, if a person is sentenced, given a punishment of death, then shotek, he is silent. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Intilim lecha dumya tehila." Now the pashtuta pasuk is that for you, Hashem, silence is a praise, and that likely means that when one is praising Hashem, there's never enough praise to capture the totality of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So sometimes when one is silent, that is the praise. Being silent in the face of Hashem is the praise to Hashem, because one can't capture all of Hashem's ways and greatness through their tehillah, through their praises. But the Gemara here is darshaning lecha dumya, means that in your presence, people are silent. So here, when the person is being sentenced to death, they are silent. But not only are they silent, they give praise to Hashem, shnemar tehillah. Lecha, in your presence, Hashem, dumya, they are silent and tehillah, they give praise, even though they're being sentenced to death. And it's not only that, it's as if the person feels like they're being makriva korban, shenamar. So this is a continuation of the pasuk, it's the same second half of that pasuk. Ulucha yishulam neder. And to you, one pays tribute or gives a gift of a korban. So the person who is accepting the punishment of the sentence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is silent, gives praise to Hashem, and it's as if they are makriva korban to Hashem. And that's their feeling or their reaction to the punishment of Hashem. Hainu damar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and this is similar to what we hear from Yeshua ben Levi. Ma dechtiv, what is meant by the pasuk? Ovrei be'emek ha-bacha, those that pass through the valley of Bacha, mayan yishiteyu, they make it into a place full of springs. Gam berachot yate more, and it will be blessed with the being covered by the early rains. Now the Gemara is going to darshan that pasuk, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ovrei, what does it mean, those that pass? Elu bnei adam shovrim ha-ratzono shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. These people will violate the word of Hashem. Emek, shemamikim lahem gehinom, that they deepen gehinom for them. Habacha, what is emek habacha? Bacha shebuchim omoridim dema'ot, they cry and they shed tears. Kimayan shel shitim, similar to the mayan of the shitim. That's a play on the mayan yishituhu. They're saying mayan shitim, mayan shitim. Shitim were the depths down to the Tahom that were underneath the Mizbeach. So that's the Mayan Shitim, like the spring of the depths. Gam brachot yate more. And what does it mean, gam brachot yate more? Shematzdikim aleim et adin. That not only when they're being punished, and this is the result of their actions, they will be punished, but they will also be matzdik aleim et adin. They accept the punishment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say that you are right, Hashem, in the way that you are reacting to us. That you judged us properly. You were exonerated us correctly. And you also implicated us correctly. And properly you made a place of gehinom for those that act inappropriately. And Gan Eden letzadikim, and the Gan Eden for those that do or follow your bidding. Ini, is that really true? When it comes to the Rishayim, even if they're standing at the doorway to Gehinom, they never do tshuva. So that it would be in contradiction to what we just said. Over here, we're saying that the Rishayim are matzdik aleim et adin, that they accept the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they recognize that Hashem is correct in punishing them. Yet over here, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is saying that even standing at the doorway of Gehinom, the Rishayim don't turn back and don't do tshuva, shneamar, because it says in Yishayahu, in the final pasuk of Yishayahu, v'yatzuv ra'u b'bgrei anashim ha'poshim bi, that you go out and you will see the corpses of the people that have sinned against me. Shepashu lo neamar, doesn't say in the past tense those that had sinned against me, that had rebelled against me, elah ha'poshim, rather those that rebel in the present tense, that they continue to rebel forever. They do not repent. Where it says, Lokasha, Habapushe Yisrael, Habapushe of Dekoh Chavim. There's a difference where the sinners come from. If they are sinners from amongst Klal Yisrael, those sinners are Makstigaleim in the din, and they accept the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they do tshuva. On the other hand, the Poshim from the Ovdei Kochavim, they continue to rebel, and they do not relent, even on the footsteps of, or the doorway of Gehinom. Hachanami Mistavro, that makes sense to draw such a distinction, Dim Kain, Kasha, Deresh Lakish, Deresh Lakish. Because if you don't say that, if you don't make such a differentiation, then we have a stira, a contradiction in the position of Resh Lakish. Dama Resh Lakish, Poshe Yisrael, in Or Gehinom, Shaletet Behen. But when it comes to the Poshim, the sinners amongst Klal Yisrael, the Or, the fire of Gehinom, does not take hold of them. Kavachomer Mizbeach HaZahav. We can learn this out from a Kavachomer from the Golden Mizbeach. Ma Mizbeach HaZahav. Shena Laveluka Ovidinar Zahav. The Golden Mizbeach, which is made out of gold plating, and only has a thickness of a dinar's worth of zahav around it. Amad kama shanim, velo shalta ba'or. It worked, it was in service for many years, and the fire never did any damage to it. Poshe Yisrael, the sinners amongst Klal Yisrael, shemleim mitzvot kirimon, that are filled with mitzvot like a pomegranate, shenemar kepelach harimon rakatech, your temples are like the pieces of the pomegranate, V'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, al tikra rakateich, don't read it as your temples, but rather ela rekateich, those that are empty amongst you. So who is domel rimon? Not the rekateich, the rekim shibacha, those that are empty. Empty meaning that they are the poshe Israel. Nevertheless, they are mlei mitzvot kirimon. Shafila rekanim shibacha mlei mitzvot kirimon, alchat kama v'kama. Even the empty amongst you are full of mitzvot like Rimon, and then certainly the Or Shel Gehinom should have no impact on them, similar to the way that the fire had no shlita over the Mizbech HaZav. What about what we said before in the Pasuk of Ovrei Be'emek HaBacha? How are we going to explain that? Then that is talking about people who were chayav to be in Gehinom. They were sentenced to be in Gehinom. But, Va'ati Avram Avinu, Umesiklohu, Umekabolohu. Then Avram Avinu goes through Gehinom, and he finds them and takes them out of there. Bar, the exception to that, who Avram will not take out, is Misrael Shabal Bat Ovdei Kochavim. A Jew is married to a non-Jewish woman, the Mashchal Orato. And in doing so, he tries to hide his Judaism, and he pulls back his Orla over, so that he should not be identifiable by his Brit Milah. And you can see here in the Mesorah Tashas that he says, he's not identifiable by his Brit. When he comes to visit, meaning that when Avram comes around to see who's there, he won't recognize this individual as a Jew because he's tried to disguise his Judaism. And in doing so, Avram Avinu is unable to help him. Now that you explain when the Torah uses the word poshim, poshim does not mean that they rebelled or sinned in the past, but rather means in the present tense they continue to rebel, that pashiv azor, they continue and do not relent or repent. Elamiato dichtiv, when it says in the Torah, hamutzi vahama'ale, which we found it's in Yonah Diyoma, because hamutzi etchem eretz Mitzrayim, God that took you out of Mitzrayim, or hamale etchem eretz Mitzrayim, God that took you out of Mitzrayim. So by a motzi and a male, which is the same conjugation of a verb, you're going to say the same thing, the mesik or the mafiku, that Hashem continues to take you out or continues to take you up out of Mitzrayim. That happened in the past. El the osik v'afik. It's in the past tense that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim and Hashem brought you up out of Mitzrayim. So hakanami, if that's the case there by those verbs, then so too over here, the pashiu, that it also means in the past tense. And you would not read it as in the present tense. So he disagrees with the drush of the Gemara because he says diuk out of haposhim is incorrect. We find many times that the verbs are conjugated in such a manner in the Torah. And yet they mean the past tense, not the present tense. V'amar Mirmiyab ben Elazar, shlosha pitchim yesh legeinom. So again, we have another member from Mirmiyab ben Elazar. It says there are three doorways into Gehinom. Echad ba midbar, one in the desert, echad ba yam, one in the ocean, ve'achad b'Yerushalayim, and one in Yerushalayim. Bamidbar, where's the doorway? How do we know there's a doorway to get you known in the midbar? Shinamar, because it says, dichtiv, by Parshat Korach, ve'yarduhem, v'chol ha'shalahem, chayim she'olah, that they were swallowed up by the earth, and it opened up and took them down into the depths. So there was in the midbar. So you see there's an opening to enter into Geinom from the midbar. Bayam, there's also a doorway in the ocean. Dichtiv, mibetin she'ol shivati, shamati koli. This is Yonah, the Navi Yonah. And when he is thrown overboard and then he's swallowed up by the whale and he calls out to Hashem, and it says there, mibetin she'ol shivati, from the depths, from the belly of Sheol, of the depths, Shivati, I cried out to you, Shamata Koli, you heard my voice. And that's when Hashem saved him. So there he's calling out again from the depths, from Sheol, which is, we'll see in a second, associated with Gehinom. And it says there that he was in the ocean. Yonah was dumped into the ocean. Yushalayim Dichtiv, because in Yishayahu it says, with regards to Yushalayim, there's a petach there, Ne'um Hashem, Asher Urlo B'tzion, that Hashem says that there will be a fire in Zion, but Tanur lo be Yerushalayim, and he has an oven in Yerushalayim. Natana de Beir Yishmael, Asher Ur lo be Zion, ze Gehinom. But there is a Ur, there's a fire in Zion, that refers to Gehinom. But Tanur lo be Yerushalayim, zu pitcha shel Gehinom, and that there's an oven or a stove there, that's the entrance to Gehinom. Vetulaka, are there no more? Vahamar Rav Merion, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. We have a member of Amrila Tana Rabba Bar Marion Debe Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So some say it was Rabbi Marion that says this in the name of Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. And some say that it was Rabba Bar Marion that says it, Debe Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, which is from a Breita of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, from the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Shtei Timarot Yesh Bigei Ben Hinom. There were two palm trees in the valley of Ben Hinom. Ve'ola Ashan Mi Benehem. And there's smoke that arises from between them. Vazohi Shishaninu Tsine Harabarzel. And this is what is meant by the Mishnah in Sukkah that says these are Tsine Harabarzel. It's a certain type of palm tree where the palm leaves don't grow parallel to each other and reach similar heights, just a little shorter on the sides and the center one being highest, but that the bottom of each leaf is touched by the top of the leaf below it. So that is what they call Tsine Harabarzel. They are much more solid. They are less leafy and sweepy than a normal lulav. But they are still considered to be kosher for lulav. And the example they said is Tzini Bahara Barzel, which references these two palm trees. So these are Tzini Barzel Ksherot, Vizui Pitcha Shel Gehinom. And the reason there's smoke arising from between them is because that is the entrance to Gehinom. So Mar says, Dilma Hainu Di Yerushalayim. Maybe that is of Yerushalayim because Gehinom is right there. It's on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. So maybe that's included. That's the petach that it was referred to in Yishayahu in Yerushalayim. Am Yehoshua ben Levi, Zayin Shemot Yesh the Gehinom. There are seven names for Gehinom. Ve'eluhin, and these are the names. Sheol, the depths. Vavadon, destruction. Uber Shachat, a pit. Ubor Sheon, a tumultuous pit. Betita Yaven, which we'll see, mired in clay, we'll see that soon. Vitzal Mavet, shadow of death. Be'eretz HaTachtit, and the underworld. So now Gemara is going to bring proofs to each one of these. She'ol, Tichtiv, which is from the puzzle that we just said before from Yonah. Mibetin She'ol Shivati, Shemata Koli, I cried out from the great depths. Shemata Koli, you listen to me. Avadon, that destruction, Tichtiv. Hayusupar Bakever Chazdecha, Emunatecha Ba'avadon. Well, they'll be told in the grave, Chazdecha, your righteousness, Emunatcha, your trustworthiness, Ba'avadon, in destruction. Be'er Shachat, Dichtiv, Kilo Tazov Nafshi L'Sh'ol, Lotitein Chasidcha, Lirot Shachat. So David HaMelech says in Tehillim that you will not leave my soul to the depths, and Lotitein Chasidcha, those that are your followers, Lirot Shachat, to see destruction. So there, the Gemara says, Shachat, being similar to Ber Shachat, and truthfully, the Gemara could have brought the proof to Sheol also from this Pasuk, which is that David HaMelech says Hashem will protect those that follow him, those that are close to him, from these difficulties or these disasters like Sheol, and Shachat. Tosafot does note that the reason the Gemara does not quote the Pasuk for Ber Shachat, that actually uses the term Ber Shachat, which is Avata Elukim Toridim the Ber Shachat, Anshe Damim Umirma Lo Yechatsu Yimehem, because that Ber Shachat is not referring to Gehinom, but rather to the Kever, to the grave. Bo'or Sh'on V'tit Hayoven. So those are the next two. That comes from this Pasuk, Tikhtiv, Bayaleni Mibor Sha'on. The God took me out of the gruesome pits, Mitita Yavin, from the miry clay. So there we see that again, Hashem is pulling you out from those difficulties or those things that are awful, like Gehinom, and they're described as Be'or Sha'on and Mitit Hayavin. Vitzal Mavet, the shadow of death, Tikhtiv, Yoshve Choshech Vitzal Mavet. This is from Tehillim Kuf Zayin, which there enumerates the Arba Tzrichim Neodot for people that have to say Birkat HaGomel or bring a Korban Tuda, and is a Tehillim about giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he takes care of us and brings us out of great difficulty. So over there it talks about those that are Yoshve Choshech Vitzal Mavet, those that are sitting in the darkness and the shadow of death. Veritza Tachtit, in the underworld, Gimaruhu, that is a Misora that we do not have an actual limud for, but rather Misora, that is considered to be one of the names of Gehinom. Now Tosafot doesn't like the proof pasuk that is brought from Yoshve Choshech Vitzal Mavet, because he's not certain that that's talking about Gehinom. Over there, it's talking about someone who's in great difficulty or on the edge of death, but not necessarily in Gehinom, and therefore Tosafot quotes a pasuk from Iyov that has that terminology used in it of Eretz Choshech Vitzal Mavet, and there he thinks it's talking about Gehinom, and thinks that's a better proof text to this. Betuleka, are there no more names to Gehinom? Vayika, Gehinom? What about the fact that the word Gehinom? You're saying that there are seven names for Gehinom. What about Gehinom? Gei she'amuka ke'Gehinom. That is a gei, that is a valley that is deep like Gehinom. She'kol yiredla al yiskei chinam. That those that are put down there or descend there because of issues of chinam. As Rashi says, issues of arayot. So Gehinom is not literally a Gehinom, but rather it's a description that has properties similar to those of Shizgei Ben Hinnom, which is that of Gehinom, which is deep, like valley of Hinnom. And it's also play on words of Gehinom, that that's the valley where, or the depths where people descend when they do the wrong thing, which is they are involved in Arayot. Vayika Tafteh. What about the word Tafteh, which is also used as a terminology for Gehinom? Tichtiv ki aruch metmol Tafteh. That was prepared already from yesterday, the Tafteh, the hearth. And over there, the continuation of the Pasuk is talking about the punishment of the individuals. And here we're talking about this hearth being prepared for them. So Gemara says, How shakola mitpateh biyitzro yipol sham. The Tafteh is a description of Gehinom, but not a name of Gehinom. It's a description of who's going to end up there. Which is anybody who is seduced by their yetzer, by their desires, and by their evil inclination, they will end up in Gehinom. Gan Eden, Amar Eish Lakish, in Eretz Yisrael hu. If Gan Eden is found in Eretz Yisrael, Beit Shan Pitcho. Beit Shan would be its entrance because, as Rashi points out, the fruits of Beit Shan were superior and very sweet and wonderful. So he says that Beit Shan represents this type of unbelievable place of trees and fruits, and therefore, if the Gan Eden is found in Eretz Yisrael, Beit Shan would be the entrance to there because it would have some similar properties, or it has a feeling like Gan Eden. In Arabia, if it's in Arabia, Beit Garim Pitcho. The Beit Garim is its opening, which is likely associated with a place that's actually opposite Beit Shan on the other side of the Yarden, which is a very fertile area opposite Beit Shan in the Transjordan area. Vim ben aniharotu. If it's found between the rivers, so one possibility between the rivers is between the Tigris and Euphrates, which would refer to somewhere in Bavel. But over here, it seems unlikely that that's the case. But here, rather, the two rivers are somewhere in Syria. Then it would be Dumaskinin. Damascus would be Pitcho. Bibavel. In Bavel, Abaye mishtabeach v'perei de'me'aver yamino, that Abaye used to say that the fruits, the best fruits in Bavel, came from the south side. Now, in the Torah, as well as in the Gemara, yamina, yamin means south. Because when a person is facing east, which is kedem, that's the front, then to their right is south. And that's why over here, Ivar Yaminum, he's on the southern side of the river. Those fruits are the wonderful fruits or unbelievable fruits of Bavel. Rabbi Mishtabeach Peperei Harpanaya. Rabbi used to say that the fruits from the place Harpanaya, those were the wonderful fruits that were, I guess, similar to that which they would have found in Gan Eden. Now we're finally moving on to the Agarata, back to the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak, which is Ubnehem Kolmo Shtevivakot, that you have between them, the amount of space that's between the Dimumdin, is the amount of two teams of animals going through. Pshita. Kevan Ditanaleg Dikshirot Abu Anandinadlav Mutarot. We mentioned this in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that they were tied together, the animals, that they were fastened together. And then it says that they were not separate. Of course that they're fastened together, they're not separate. So what's that teaching us? So Madhu Tanima Kishirot. Kishirot doesn't mean literally they were tied together, but Kain Kishirot, they were just close together. Of a mashlo, but they weren't literally tied together. Kamashulan Velo Mutarot. That were about literally being tied together, put under the same yoke, and that makes them tighter together, and that's a chumra. That we say that they have to be very tightly packed together, these teams of oxen or bulls that are going in there, because we want to give a certain amount of space, and that space can be limited to this configuration. Achat nichneset v'achat yotzeit. One entering and one exiting. Tana, ravka nichneset v'ravka yotzeit. It's a team of animals that are entering and a team of animals exiting. We're not saying that one at a time can go in and one can go out. We're saying that this is a kula, that both teams have to be able to enter and exit at the same time. Whether you think it's three tied together, six all together, three and three, or eight, four and four, they have to, all four of them together have to be entering and four exiting, and so you have to have enough space for that to happen. Tanra Banana, so we have a braita here that helps us understand the dimensions that are given in our Mishnah, which is, Kama Roshav Rubasho Para. You said that you're allowed to bring the Pasei Biriot as close to the bore you want, as close to the cistern or be'er, to the well that you want, as long as there was enough space for a para, rosha viruba, its head, and the majority of his body to be inside. So how much is that? Shtei amot. That is two amot, so the minimum amount of space around the well is to have two amot in each direction. Mekama uvyasho para. What is the width of a para? Because this will help us determine what the size of space that is allowed between the dumdin. So that is, ama ushnei shlishei ama. That's 1 2/3 amot. And that means for Rabbi Meir, 6 times 1 2/3 will get you to 10 amot. And that's the space that Rabbi Meir allows between the dumdin. And for Rabbi Huda, where it's 8, that is 13 1/3 amot, which is the space that he allows between the dumdin. Shein ke eser divri Rabbi Meir. And that is similar to 10, like what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Huda Omer, kishlosh shlishei ama. Similar to 13 amot, ukarba eser man, similar to 14 amot. Smart wants to understand this. Ke eser, what do you mean it's like eser for Rabbi Meir? Ha, eser havyon, it's exactly 10. 1 2/3 times 6 is 10. So what are you saying? It's like 10. Shun debay lemit nesefa kishlosh esrei. So because in the safe point, Rabbi Yehuda's position has to be like 13. Or it says, kishlosh esrei, it's not like 13. Tfe havyon, it's more than 13. It's 13 1/3. Mishum debay lemit nekarba eser, because later on it's going to, right after, it's going to say like 14. It's also not 14. It's only 13 1/3. So Rav Papa explained it. What does it mean? Between 13 and 14, basically. It's like 13, like 14 means between 13 and 14, which is 13 1/3. So since it used an estimation with regards to Rabbi Yehuda, so to Rabbi Meir, it says ke'eser, even though by Rabbi Meir, it's actually an exact number of 10 amot. So Amar Rav Papa, when it comes to a bore well that is 8 amot in diameter, to kuleyama lo pligit lo binim pshutim. Everybody agrees there that you only need the diyum din on the side. And that is because if you have a bore by 8 in diameter, and you leave the minimum amount of space around it, which is 2 amot, which we said before, the rosh and rov of the animal is 2 amot. So if I add 2 amot to every side, that now makes the diameter of that space to 8. Plus 2 on one side, plus 2 on the other side is 12. So now you have an area that's 12 by 12. If you put up the diyumdim, the diyum are the corner pieces, each piece juts out an amah. So if I have an amah from one diyumid, and an amah on the other side of diyumid, 12 minus 2 amot is 10 amot. And even Rabbi Meir agrees when you have 10 amot between them that you don't need any pshutim, you don't need any extra boards in between. So what Rav Papa says is if you have a board that's 8 amot, and you're keeping the minimum amount of space around it, then everybody agrees you just need the corners for the Pasei Biriyot. Now, on the other hand, Borsh demonstrate, if the diameter of the bore is 12 amot, meaning that it's 12 by 12 across, whether it's a square or 12 in diameter, if it's a circle, then again, if you put the minimum space around it, you'd have to add 2 amot on each side. So 12 plus 2 is 14, plus 2 is 16. So you have an area that's 16 by 16. An area 16 by 16, if you put the diumdin in the corners, each duma takes up an amma. So you have 16 amot minus 1 amma for the duman on one side, 1 amma for the duman on the other side to get back down to 14. Even Rabbi Yehuda in that case would agree that you need to add in a pas in the middle because he says that the maximum amount of space you're allowed is 13 and a third. Here you have 14 amot. So but 8 and below, everybody agrees you don't need extra boards in the middle. 12 and above, everybody agrees that you're going to need to put boards in the middle, even Rabbi Yehuda. This is we're talking about the size of the boar or the be'er, and that using the minimum space around it. To go everywhere, kuli amalo pligim, but being a pshutim. Ki plige mishmona ad shtemisre. Where they argue is from 8 until 12, because in that area, the Rabbi Meir being a pshutim. For Rabbi Meir, you need pshutim, because you're going to be more than 10 amotes. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda lo being a pshutim, because you're going to be less than 13 and a third amot. So that's the area where they're going to argue is between the 10 and the 13 and a third amot. Rapapa Maikamash Laman. What is Rapapa coming to teach us? Tanina. We just learned it. The Brita just told us information. We have it from our Mishnah. What is Rapapa adding here? Rapapa Brita Lushmiole. Rapapa didn't hear about this Brita. And therefore, he was trying to teach us the information from our Mishnah that we know from the Brita. Vakamash Malanke Brita. It teaches like the Brita that the amount of space that 6 parot take up is 10 amot. And the amount of space that 8 parot take up is 13 and a third amot. Now we have the Brita, so we know that, but Rapapa wouldn't have the Brita in hand, and therefore he had this Memra. Even though Rapapa himself is the one that explains the Brita, that's afterwards. He first had this Memra, he first made this statement, and later on, after he heard the Brita, he went to explain the Brita. So now we're going to have a series of questions from Abayi to Rabba about these issues of Pasei Biriyot, which is Bai Minei Abayi Mi Rabba. Harich B'diyumdin Kishir Pshutim, the Rameir Mahu. Instead of putting up extra boards in the middle to square out the area of the Pasei Biriyot so there's not more than 10 amot between the Diyumdin, what happens if I just extend the Diyumdin, the corner pieces? I make them longer. So yes, there's a space of 10 amot between them, but that's it. There's only a space of 10 amot because I expanded them, made them 2 amot, 3 amot, whatever it takes to fill in that space in the middle. Instead of putting an extra board in the middle, what's the din? Meaning that if I put an extra board there, there's more heker to it. If I extend the diumdim, it's more like a mechitza. So which is better? We have it in our Mishnah. As long as he increases the amount of pasim. My love, what does that mean? Your bebe pasim, that increases the pasim. Love the marich b'diumdim. Doesn't that mean to extend the diumdim? No. The mapish v'avit pshutim. It means that they add on extra boards in there. Ihochi, if that's the case, then why is the wording of the Mishnah such? Hi, ubuvad shir bebe pasim. It shouldn't say your bebe pasim. Your bebe means to expand the pasim. Ad shir be pasim. You should say more pasim. Instead of saying expand the existing pasim, you should say that you should add in pasim mibayile. So today, the Gemara says, so we mend the mission to read ad shir be pasim, and then we won't have a problem. And that is the case, that it's better to put in extra boards than it is to extend the yudumdin. Ikadamre, amale tini tua. He answered him that Rabbi asked answered a bayit and he too we have in our Mishnah b'vachir beb pasim my love the mapish vavid pshutim. What is that? That means that he added in extra boards there. Lo, b'damarich b'diyumdin, that he expanded the yumdin, he made them longer. And hachinami mistavra, that's duyak from lashona Mishnah because it says miktani u'b'vachir beb pasim, because the Mishnah loses the lashon of irbe pasim, that he'll expand the pasim, not add in irbe pasim. That he'll add in extra boards, but rather that he'll expand the existing boards. And that's meduyak from Mishnah Shmaminoah that you can use the diyumdim expansion. So according to the first lashon, it's better to add in more boards according to Rabbi Meir because there's a better heker. According to the second lashon, based on the diyuk from the Mishnah, it would be better to expand the diyumdim than to add in extra boards. Barminei Abayi Mi Rabba. So again, here another question that's posed by Abayi to Rabba. Yoter Mishloshes Ramav Shlish the Rabbi Yehuda. If the gap in between the Diyum Din for Rabbi Yehuda is greater than 13 and a third amot, Mahu, what is the Din? Pshutin Avid? Does he put an extra boards in the middle? Oh, B'Diyum Din Arich, or does he expand the Diyum Din? I mean, the same question that we posed for Rabbi Meir, now we're posing it for Rabbi Yehuda once we've exceeded his empty space or open space that he allows. We learned that from our Mishnah Rabba says, Kamahein Mikuravim. How close can you bring in the Pasei Beriot to the well itself? They roshav rubasho para. The amount of the head and robe of the body of the para. Vekamam ruchakim. How far can you make them away? Afilu kurav, afilu kurayim. Even a massive amount of space you can go away as long as you add in shutim. Vehidomer, beit sataim mutar, yoter mi beit sataim asur. There's a maximum amount of space as a beit sataim, which is an area that's mukaf l'dira. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda. Don't you agree, Bidir, that when we're talking about an enclosure outside of the city, this sohar, or we're talking about some sort of corral, umukse, or the backyard, v'chatzer, in the courtyards, afilu bat chamesh kurim, afilu bat asara kurim, if they have walls around them, they're considered to be a reshut yachid, even if they're massive spaces, because these are areas that are ukaf the dira. Since they were kafta dira, there's an unlimited amount of space that you can enclose for the utilization of these areas, and they would be considered a reshut yachid. Shmutar. Don't you agree that all these cases are mutar? Amalehen, zumechitza, veilu pasim. There's a big difference here, because by pasei biriot, we're dealing with pasim, we're not dealing with the real mechitza. And those areas by the chatzer and the mukse, by the areas of the mukse, they are not necessarily real mechitzot that you're only using pasim. Vim'ita, if you're expanding yumdin and you're making them bigger, then that's a mezumechitza, mezumechitza. They're both mechitzot mibaya. That's what he should have said. They're both the same mechitzot. So if they're both, if the fact that he's saying that there are difference in the way that they are made, then that's showing you that there's a different methodology here. By the regular chatzerot and all those areas, you're using a mechitza. Over here, you're using pasim. But not the same type of mechitza where you just keep expanding the diumdin, make them look like a mechitza. No. You're putting these extra boards in the middle, and those extra boards are not like real mechitzot. Where it says, no, that's not true. Hachi kamar. Zo torat mechitza aleha, upir tzotea be'eser. This is a din of mechitza on it, meaning chatzer, deer, sohar. All those areas have a din of mechitza. And therefore, the maximum amount of empty space you're allowed are breaches in the wall or ten amot, because that's considered to be a doorway. Velu torot pasin aleim. But by pasei biriot, since they're considered to be quote-unquote pasim, even though they're the same mechitza, but since they have a special designation, you allow pirtzoteim b'shlosh seyama b'shlish. Therefore, the breaches can be up to 13 and a third amot and still not be a problem for the mechitza. So there's a difference between them. And you could still say here that he means to expand the duyum din. It means to make them bigger. Now, it's interesting here because in the posing the question about Rabbi Meir versus posing the question about Rabbi Yehuda, it seems from the posing the question by Rabbi Meir that the duyum din were less functional or less favored than the putting in of extra boards. Rabbi Meir, we said it's a better heker, it's a better mechitza if you put in the extra boards. And are you allowed to use the diyum din, which would have been a subpar solution to the problem? Over here, the Gemara seems to say almost the opposite, which is by Rabbi Yehuda, it seems like the expansion of the diyum din is considered to be more of a mechitza than the addition of additional pasim there. So why is it that by the case of Rabbi Meir, the Gemara assumes that adding in pshutim is better, or seems to be a better solution? And over here, it seems like the expansion of the Yom Dim is a better solution by Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosfot says that there's a distinction or a difference in the case. Depends how wide or how big the space is. When you're dealing with a smaller space, then putting in the pshutim is better than expanding the Yom Dim. Because by putting in the pshutim, there's more of a heker. And if you expand the Yom Dim, you're not going to get to a position where the omed is merube ala parutz. But the standing wall is greater than the breach space or the open space because we're talking about a small area. And so therefore you can have these big ten amot breaks between them, and yet the duyum din will not equal the empty space. On the other hand, if you're talking about a very large space, then the duyum din, expanding the duyum din, makes it that it'll be omed merube ala parutz. And if omed merube ala parutz, that is a better mechitza than putting in these extra pasim. So the difference will be, by Rabbi Meir, we're talking about a smaller area, and therefore, the pshutim are more of a heker than the diyum din being a mechitza, because there it's going to be parutz yoter min omed. Whereas, in the case here, when they're discussing Rabbi Yehuda, they're at a large area, a large space. Over there, the diyum din will generate a omed merube ala parutz, which is a real mechitza. So over there, we're going to favor the diyum din over the pshutim. And that's why the Gemara's assumption of which is better changes between the question posed about Rabbi Meir to the question posed about Rabbi Yehuda. Baimineya baimirabo. Abaye now asks another question, Rabbi. Tell him, Elokeita Sarah Mitoch Arba. If you have a pile of dirt in the Shuta Rabim, that within Dalet Amot ascends 10 Tfachim. We know that 10 Tfachim high is a Rishut Yachid, considered to be a separate Rishut. But it gains that elevation of 10 Tfachim in a very short span of 4 Amot. Nidon Mishum Diyumad? Do I know Nidon Mishum Yumad? Can you look at that as a Diyumad? Can that be one of the corners of the Pasei Biriyot? Can it function like one of the corners of the Pasei Biriyot? Now, the reason that this is the case, or that's considered to be separate, is because it gained so much elevation in such a short distance that it's uncomfortable to walk up. People won't use it or utilize it. On the other hand, if it gains elevation at a slower pace, even though it reaches up to 10 Tfachim, that'll still be considered part of the Reshut Rabim or flatland, because since its ascent is gradual, people look at it as being part of the topography of the Reshut Rabim, and they'll walk on it and use it because it's not inconvenient. But over here, where it gains so much elevation in such a short distance, it's difficult to ascend, and therefore, if it's considered to be a separate Reshut, a separate area. So now we want to know, if since it's considered a separate area, it can also function as a Mechitza because of the height of 10 Tfachim. I'm related to Nitua. We also learned this. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Hayitashem Evin Mubat. If there is a square stone there, Roino Kilu Shadechlak. We look at it as if you cut out or carved out the Mechitzot. So if you have a square there, a pillar that is 1 amah by 1 amah, then what you look at is if we carved out the middle of it and you left 2 boards of an amah by an amah to be the diumad on that side. It has a din of diumad. If not, then it doesn't have function like a diumad. So we look at it as if you carved out. If you can carve out 2 mechitzot of an amah by an amah by taking away the squaring of this post, then that's fine. That can act as a diumad. If there's a pillar there, a rounded pillar, Roin Kol Shilu Techtak, Techkak, Vitechlak. If you were able to carve it out and smooth it out, V'yesh Ba'amadakan Ba'amadakan, Nidon Mishum Diyumad. Then it can function like a Diyumad. Meaning that if you're able to both carve it out and square it out, this circular pillar, and it would have end up with a 1 amah Mechitza this way and a 1 amah Mechitza the other way, then it functions like a Diyumad. V'imla V'inu Nidon Mishum Diyumad. Otherwise, it does not function like a Diyumad. But what are they arguing about? One of the Tanayim believes that we say one ro'et. We look at it as if. So here by the post that is squared out, that is one ro'im. We look at it as if that post is made into mechitzot. We carve it out and it's looked as a mechitzot. Tre ro'im lo amrina. But if you have to say as if twice, then we don't say it. Umar savar, when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, then we even say tre ro'im, nami amrina. Even we say two as ifs. So, for instance, when we have the circular pillar that's going up, we say it's as if the pillar is carved out from the inside to form the mechitzot. Plus, we look at it as if it's smoothed out on the outside so that it becomes squared out. So there you need two as ifs. You have to look at it as if it's carved out on the inside so that you get walls. And you have to look at it as if it's smoothed out on the outside so they get straight mechitzot rather than rounded mechitzot. So there are the two as ifs. So that's machloket over there. So same thing over here by the Telem Lekait. It will be the same din. Do you say two ro'im or not? Over here by the pile in the Reshut Rabim that is ascending, we'll have to do two as ifs. You'll have to look at it as if you carved out the middle to get the two mechitzot. Plus, you have to look as if that you sliced off the back ends to square it out to make it into a mechitza. So two as ifs will be, if you think two as ifs work, then this would be a good diumad. If you think it doesn't, then that would not be a good diumad. If you have a mechitza of kanim, a mechitza of reeds, and each reed is less than 3 tvachim away from the next, can nidon mishum diumad or lo? Because of lovud, can that function as a mechitza to be the diumad? I'm related to nitua. Again, Rabba says, we already learned that. Hayasham ilan ogader o chitzat kanim. If there was a tree there, or a fence, or a group of reeds, nidon mishum diumad. It functions like a diumad. My love, kane pachot mishlosha. What is a chitzat kanim? What is a mechitza of kanim? Isn't it a mechitza that involves reeds that are less than 3 tvachim away? It says lo gudraito. It's a case where the reeds are tied tightly at the bottom and they fan out at the top, and that's a chitzat kanim. Dekani gudraito dekani yochi anu ilan. That's similar to ilan, where you have a trunk that's solid in the bottom, and then it spreads out its branches at the top. Velamai, kane, pachot mishlosha. So what do you want to say? That this chitzat ganim is read standing less than 3 tefachim away from each other? Hainu gadar. How's that different than a fence? Elamayit l'chala meymar. So what are you going to say? Trei gavne gadar. That if you explained it as being kanim, they're less than 3 tefachim away from each other, then you would say that, well, there's one type of gather, which is a regular fence, and there's a different type of fence. Achanami, trei gavne deilan. Two types of trees. You have a tree, which is a trunk and branches coming off of it. You have something that looks like a tree, which is kitzat kanim, where you have the kanim tied tightly at the bottom, and they fan out at the top, which looks similar to a tree, but it's a different type of mechitza. Ikedamri, some say that it starts the other way and concludes in the direction of the answer that we want, which is ikedamri, gudraita dekani, kami baile. He asked about this case where he tied it at the bottom and it fanned out at the top. Gudraita dekani mai. What's the din there? I'm related to Nitua. We learned it already. Dahi Hashem gader, o ilan, o chitzata kanim. If there was a fence, a tree, or a fence of kanim there. Hidom mishum dumai. There is a din dumai. My love, gudraita dekani. What is this chitzat kanim? Must be this gudraita dekani, which is this tightly tied pack of reeds at the bottom that fan out at the top. Where it says, lo, kane, pachod mishlosha. But it's a fence that is kanim laid out less than 3 tefachim away from each other. Yachi anu gader. How's that different than a regular fence? Elamai. So what do you want to suggest? It's talking about gudraita dekani. It's talking about this case where it's tied tightly at the bottom and fans out the top. Hainu ilan. That's the same as a tree. Elamai l'chameimar. What would you have answered? You would have answered trei gavnei de ilan. That there are two types of trees here. We're talking about one tree, which is a trunk and branches spreading out, and one where a case where the kanim are tied at the bottom and fan out at the top. Hachanami. So I'll say the same thing with regards to the gader. Trei gavnei gader. There's two types of fences. One fence, which is a regular fence, and a fence that's a kanim laid out less than 3 tefachim away from each other, and therefore it's inconclusive over here because the Tanaic quotation that we're bringing is not definitive of whether it's talking about the question that we're asking. In either way you phrase the question, whether it's about kanim less than 3 tefachim away, or it's about this gudraita dekani, in either case, we could learn that Tanaic work differently, and therefore we don't have any proof from the Tanaic work, and we'll stop over here.